أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. واللانة الدائمة الباقية لعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, ayat number 33, he says that he is the one who sent his messenger with guidance and the true faith so that that faith can gain preference over all the religions, walaw kariha al-mushrikun, even though the polytheists dislike that. I would like to begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity of once again commemorating the Azaa of Sayyid al-Shuhada. This is an expression of our wila and love for the Prophet and his family. And I had wished that I would be there at the Az-Zahra Islamic Center in Vancouver with my old community. I've been with the community in the early days when I came in 1983 for about 8 years. And so I was looking forward to that, but unfortunately the COVID-19 situation has forced us to modify our ways of doing our rituals. And I was not able to travel to Vancouver, and therefore I'm addressing you from Toronto. Based on the suggestion given to me, inshallah, I will be talking about Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Mahdi, about Karbala and Zuhur, the appearance of the Mahdi, the connections and the similarities between the two events and the two individuals. However, before every in Majlis, before I reach to the actual point, I will spend a few minutes talking about the importance of the institution of Azaa, the memorial services that we have for the events of Karbala. And tonight I would like to begin with a hadith from our 8th Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Just to show that when we talk about these memorial services for Karbala, this is not a cultural tradition. This is actually based on the religious teachings of the Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. Imam Ridha alayhi salam once was talking about this issue, and he says, that remember, in the Muharram Shahrun, كان أهل الجاهلية يحرمونه فيه القتال. Muharram is a month in which bloodshed was considered unlawful by the pre-Islamic pagan Arabs. However, what happened in Islamic era? Our blood was shed in this month, our sanctity was violated, our children and women folk were made captives, our tents were set ablaze, and whatever was found therein was looted. And that did not even honor the relationship, the hurmat that we had with the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْحُسَيْنِ أَقْرَحَ جُفُونَنَا. He says, the day of Hussein has injured our eyes, and our tears are constantly flowing since then. Our dear ones were dishonored on the plains of grief and trials, Karbobala, making way for sorrows and suffering till the end of time. And on the grieving, and this is where the Imam emphasizes, فَعَلَى مِثْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ فَلَيَبْكِ الْبَاكُونَ. And so the grieving people should cry on a person like Hussein, for crying over him will erase major sins. These are the words of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, talking about the importance of remembering the tragedy of Karbala. Coming to the theme that I have, tonight I would like to present the conceptual ground for the overall theme of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Al-Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala faraju sharif. Human being is the prime creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created to attain salvation in the eternal life by going through the test and trial of this world. Test cannot be possible unless humans were given the free will. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 76 ayat 2, he says, "Inna hadaynahu sabil," we have shown him the way, "imma shakiran wa imma kafura," either he will be grateful and follow it, or he will be ungrateful and ignore the guidance that we have given. And this free will that Allah has given to us is the biggest of all tests. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our father Adam, he ordered the angels to bow down towards him as a show of respect. Iblis, who was part of the assembly of the angels, refused to bow down before Adam. He considered himself superior on the basis of the physical best foundation of himself and Adam. He was from fire and Adam was from clay. And according to his assessment, fire is superior. His vision was colored by racism and arrogance. He did not realize that the order came from his own creator, who created them both from fire and from clay. Moreover, the order was only given after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had breathed the soul into the body of Adam. It was not the body made of clay origin that was the object of honor. It was Adam's soul, which was a non-physical entity. And this is where we see two parts from the very beginning, two opposite groups. Adam alayhi salam on one side, versus Shaitan Mal'oon on the other side. And Shaitan openly, you know, expressed his challenge on this issue. When he refused to bow down to Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to leave the assembly of the angels. But before that, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at chapter 7 of the Quran, ayah 16 and 17, he says, "Since you have disappointed me, I shall certainly sit in ambush for mankind in your straight path." So on your sirat mustaqim, he says in the Quran to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'm going to sit there. "Then I shall certainly approach them, min aydihim, from their front, wa khalfihim, and from their back, wa imanihim, and from their right side, wa min shama'ilihim, from their left side," to do what? To misguide them away from the straight path. And then he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "You will not find most of them thankful to you." Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave the challenge of Shaitan unanswered. He makes sure that the path is sure, straight, and Shaitan has no power over his servants except the misguided ones, for whom hell is their recompense. If you look at Surah number 17, ayah 63 to 65, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually responds to the challenge of Shaitan. And this is where he says, "You know, be gone. For whoever of them will follow you, then surely hell is your recompense, a complete recompense." And then he says to Shaitan, "Incite whomsoever of them you can with your voice. Collect against them your forces, riding or on foot, and share with them in their wealth and children, and hold out promises to them, give them promises to them." And Allah then, as if in a, you know, bracket, he says, "Shaitan's promises are nothing but deceit." And surely then he concludes by saying that, My servants, you have no authority over them, and your Lord is sufficient as a protector. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the guidance through the prophets, messengers, and divine books. But at every step, Shaitan came with his agents and tried to mislead the children of Adam, one generation after another, till the last messenger came with the final religion. And this is where we are to realize that even when the final message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came through our Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Even then, Shaitan did not stop. You know, Shaitan used his agents within the Muslims to sabotage Islam from within. This satanic program fully manifested in form of Yazid, the first caliph or ruler in the history of Islam to openly oppose Islam, cast doubt upon the Prophet's intention, and reject the Quran's divine origin. You must have heard this many, many times during Muharram, that after the tragedy of Karbala, when the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was taken to Damascus and they were presented to Yazid in his darbar, you know, there, out of his arrogance, the words that he uttered at that time in form of poetry of one of the mushrikeen of the early days, this is where he says, La'ibat Hashimul bil Mulk, that Banu Hashim, the Prophet and his family, just played for the sake of kingship and government. فَلَا خَبَرٌ جَاءَ وَلَا وَحْيٌ نَذَلٌ. There was no news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor was there any revelation. And so basically he denied the truth of the prophethood of our Prophet and also rejects the divine origin of the Quran. And it is in that background that we see that in order to rescue Islam from the clutches of the caliph or the ruler, Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam stood up to sacrifice everything to make the people realize that Yazid is not Islam and Islam is not Yazid. In other words, Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to make it clear that, remember, Islam cannot be defined by words and actions of a ruler. Yazids and rulers have to be judged according to the pure Islamic standards and values. Because the way things were going after the wafat of the Prophet, if Yazid had been unchallenged, you would have seen that Islam would not be the Islam. Rather, whatever the ruler does becomes Islam. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to stop that trend. And he did that by his, you know, rising up against Yazid to the extent of sacrificing everything. And so, in conclusion of this, you know, overall theme that I'm presenting tonight, we see that the two opposing forces of Adam and Shaitan have been there from the early days of humanity. This concept has been conceived and beautifully presented by Allama Iqbal, the famous poet of the Indian subcontinent, in his poetry, especially in Farsi, when he talks about Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He says, Musa Fir'aun wa Shabbiru Yazid, Indu Quwwataz Hayat Ahmad Padid. He says, Moses and Pharaoh, Shabbir and Yazid, Shabbir referring to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Moses and Pharaoh, Shabbir and Yazid, these two powers emerge with human life. زنده حق از قوت شبیری است، باطل آخر داغ حسرت میری است. Truth is alive from Shabir's power, from Shabir's sacrifice. Falsehood is finally a hopeless dream. صلوات پڑھنے ایک بار. So this struggle of truth against falsehood started from the dawn of humanity and reached its peak in Karbala. Hussein ibn Ali represented all the good forces, while Yazid represented all the evil forces. And that is why these are not just words of poetry, these are not my personal opinion here. That is why you see that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, describes Husayn ibn Ali as Warith in the ziyarat that we have, ziyarat al-Warith. And Warith means the heir. And he says that Husayn is the heir of Adam and Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Muhammad and Ali. When he says as-salad, when he says to us, that when you go for the ziyarat of Husayn ibn Ali, or if you do the ziyarat from far away, address him with these words. Say, As-salamu alayka ya waris Adama safat Allah. As-salamu alayka ya waris Nuhin Nabi Allah. Salam to you, O the heir of Adam, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salam to you, O Husayn, who is the heir of Nuh, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayka. عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله سلام to you, O the heir of Ibrahim, the friend of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله سلام on you, O Hussein, the heir of Musa, with whom Allah سبحانه وتعالى talked. السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله سلام on you, O Hussein, who is the heir of Isa, the spirit of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله سلام on you, O Hussein, who is the heir of Muhammad, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام سلام on you, O Hussein, who is the warith and heir of أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب عليه الصلاة والسلام. And these are the words from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, portraying him as the symbol of all the good forces from the time of Adam to the Khatam. And in the light of this, it is very easy for us to conclude that Yazid and his forces represented the evil forces from day one till that time. On the other side, we can say Yazid was the warith and heir of Qabil. Yazid was the heir of the opponents of Nuh. Yazid was the heir of Numrud. He was the heir of Fir'aun. He was the heir of Judas. He was the heir of Abu Sufyan. And he was the heir of Muawiyah. Hussein, by his sacrifice, was so supreme that he became the symbol of haq and truth. This has been beautifully portrayed by Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti, a famous Sufi master of India, again in a poetry where he says in Farsi, Shahast Hussein, Bad Shahast Hussein, Deen Ast Hussein, Deen Pana Ast Hussein. He says Hussein is a king. But then he thought, maybe this is not good enough to praise Hussein. So he says, Badshah has Hussein. Hussein is an emperor. Then he goes on to say, Hussein is the faith. But even then he felt this was not good enough to praise Hussein. So he says, Hussein is the faith's refuge. Deen Panah ast Hussein. Sardad nadad dast dar dast Yazid. He gave his head, but didn't give his hand to Yazid. Haqqaqe bana ila ilah ast Hussein. Truly the foundation of la ilah is Hussein. Salawat parnayak bi'anara. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. These words actually are poetic rendering of the famous hadith of the Prophet where he said, Husaynun minni wa ana min Hussein. That I am from Hussein, and Hussein is from me. So yes, although this confrontation and struggle between Haqq and Batil reached its peak in Karbala, but the struggle continues even after Karbala. Many Yazids came, and many Yazids will come in the future. But the Muslims will always look back at Hussein as the standard of separating the truth from the diluted version of it. This struggle will continue till it reaches the final round upon the appearance of Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala faraju sharif, during whose time the shaitan will face his death. However, between the day of Ashura till the appearance of Al-Mahdi, Karbala is the torch which shows us the path whenever we are engulfed with fog of doubts, misguidance, and deviation. Remember that misguidance never comes your way in its original form. It is always mixed with elements of truth. Hypocrisy is a bigger danger than outright kufr. And the love and loyalty to Imam Hussein alayhi salam becomes the litmus test for true faith. Hussein becomes the ark of salvation, safinatun najat, to take us safely out from the foggy and stormy seas. This is why all the Imams have emphasized on keeping alive the memory of Karbala. This is how Karbala became a movement not only during the days of the Imams, but also during the era of Ghibat. This is a movement which looks back at Karbala to constantly refocus and reform in order to prepare ourselves for the future, for the final encounter of good against evil with the coming of Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajhu sharif. Salawat parne ek bar aur. So let us look at the beginning of the encounter as far as the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is concerned. When Muawiyah died and Yazid came to power, he sent a letter to his governor in Medina, Walid bin Utbah bin Abi Sufyan, informing him of his father's death. And besides that letter, he also added a brief note which says very clearly to Walid that seek the pledge of allegiance from Hussein, Abdullah bin Umar, and Abdullah bin Zubayr firmly. لَيْسَ فِيهِ رُخْصَةٌ حَتَّى يُبَايِعُ. You know, there is no rukhsa, no excuse and leniency in this matter until they pledge allegiance. When the messenger of Walid went to the mosque and he saw Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Abdullah bin Zubair, he informed that the governor has summoned them for a meeting. Hussein remarked that it must be the news of Muawiyah, otherwise he wouldn't call us at the night time or towards the evening at that time. Imam Hussein goes to his home and gathers the young men from Banu Hashim to accompany him with their swords to the governor's house. He asked them to stay outside and only enter if they hear him raising his voice. That would be an indication that he is in danger. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam went to the governor's home, at that time, we see that Walid welcomed the Imam and read the letter of Yazid informing about the death of Muawiyah. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as the Islamic norm, uttered the words, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's the reality. Everybody has to die one day. And then Walid presented the other note, and he said that Walid has asked me to ask you to pledge allegiance for him, through me for him. And he has actually insisted that this must be done immediately without any excuse. Imam responded by saying that this is a serious matter and this cannot be dealt with in secrecy, and you yourself, Walid, would not be satisfied with it until I do so publicly. So when you ask for a pledge of allegiance publicly tomorrow, I will give you my response. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this is very important. This is the very beginning stage of the struggle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam against Yazid. And Imam never wanted to initiate hostilities, and that is why he didn't give his response right away. Walid agreed to Imam Hussein's proposal. But there was a third person in the meeting, Marwan bin Hakam al-Mal'un, who was known for his intrigues and seditious manner. He told Walid that either get the pledge of allegiance now from Hussein or take off his head. With such a provocation, Imam Hussein alayhi salam decided not to delay his response. And he very courageously turned to Marwan and he said, Yabn al-Zarqa, anta taqtuluni am huwa? That, O Marwan, do you have the courage to kill me or he? كَذَّبْتَ وَاللَّهِ وَعَثِمْتَ. You are a liar, you don't have the courage to kill me, and you are sinful in what you are saying. And then Imam didn't wait for the response. He just gave the response right away. And this is where he says, إِنَّ أَهْلُ بَيْتِ النُّبُوَّةِ وَمَعْدَنُ الرِّسَالَةِ وَمُخْتَلَفُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَمَحْبَةُ الرَّحْمَةِ بِنَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ وَبِنَا خَطَمٌ. First, he introduces himself. He describes about himself. He says, I am a member of the household of prophets, Ahl Bayt al-Nubuwah, the source of messengers, Ma'dan al-Risala, Mukhtalaf al-Malaika, the house which was the visiting place of the angels. This is where the angels would descend and ascend. Wa Mahbat al-Rahmah, this is the place where the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came in the form of my grandfather. Bina fatah Allah wa bina khatam. With us Allah began. What is he referring to? He says, with us Allah began Islam. My grandfather is the one who brought the message of Islam. Wa bina khatam. And he will end Islam with us. This is probably referring to Imam Mahdi. That the world will come to the end with the perfection of Islam. Domination of Islam according to the ayat I recited earlier after the khutbah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he will give success and domination of Islam over all other religions. This will be done through the Mahdi. So this is where he says, Bina fatah Allah wa bina khatam. And then he says, this is my background. Wa Yazid rajulun fasiq. And Yazid is a sinful person. Sharib al-Khamr, he's a drunkard. Qatil al-Nafs al-Muharrama, he's a murderer of innocent souls. Mu'linun bil-Fisq, not only that he's a sinner and a drunkard, he actually does this fisq and sinfulness openly, doesn't have any remorse or shame about it. And then Imam Hussain alayhi salam concludes there by saying, وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايِعْ مِثْلُهُ. Therefore, a person like me cannot pledge allegiance to a person like him. Hussein is setting the standards from day one. The first moment of his movement, where he's saying it's not only Hussein and Yazid. In history, many, many people will come. Many Yazids will come. And anyone who is my follower, who is a Husseini in the true sense, will not pledge allegiance to a person like Yazid. Salawat upon the Akbar. Azadara and Hussein, Imam Hussein alayhi salam ne jab ye jawab diya hai, to Imam ki awaz jo hai buland ho chuki thi. Aur ye ishara tha Banu Hashim ke jawanon ke liye jo bahar khade hue the apne talwaron ke saath, ki jab meri awaz buland ho تو تم سمجھنا کہ میری جان خطرے میں ہے اور اندر چلے آنا. جیسے ہی حسین کی آواز بلند ہوئی, بنو حاشم کے جوان اپنے تلوار کو نکالے ہوئے اندر چلے آتے ہیں ولید کے گھر, اور امام حسین علیہ السلام کو اپنے حفاظت میں, اپنے تلوار کے حصار میں ولید کے گھر سے حفاظت کے ساتھ لے کے آتے ہیں. امام اپنے بیت الشرف میں پہنچتے ہیں, اور وہاں پہنچنے کے بعد امام نے جو احکام دیے ہیں, لیکن اس سے پہلے ایک بات ہم کہنا چاہیں گے. امام حسین علیہ السلام کے لیے وہ موقع جہاں امام نے اپنی آواز کو بلند کی یہ کہتے ہوئے, اِنَّ اَحْلُ بَيْتِ النُّبُوَّةِ وَمَعْدَنُ الرَّسَالَةِ وَمُخْتَلَفُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَمَحْبَةَ الْوَعِي بِنَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ وَبِنَا خَتَمُ, یہ اس جملے کو جب حسین نے بلند آواز میں کہا ہے. تو اس وقت جو ہے بنو ہاشم کے جوانوں نے آواز سنی اور چلے آئے. یہ ایک معمولی سی بات تھی, لیکن عجب نہیں, میرا دل یہ کہتا ہے کہ عاشور کے دن شام کے وقت جب حسین بالکل میدان کربلا میں یک و تنہا رہ گئے تھے, جب وہ آواز بلند کر رہے تھے حل من ناصر ینصرنا وحل مغیث حل من مغیث یغیثنا, کوئی ہے ہماری مدد کرنے والے, کوئی ہے جو ہمارے اس استغاثہ کا جواب دینے والے. عزاداران حسین, عجب نہیں کہ اپنے جوانوں کو یاد کیا ہوگا کہ مدینہ میں تو میری آواز بلند ہوئی تھی اور تم تلوار نکالے ہوئے چلے آئے تھے, آج حسین تمہیں پکار رہا ہے اور تم جواب نہیں دے رہے ہو. عجب نہیں کہ بنو ہاشم کے یہ شیر جو شہید ہو چکے تھے ان کی لاش میں یہ آواز ہوئی ہوگی کہ حسین ہم قضاء الہی سے مجبور ہے, اگر خدا نے اجازت دی ہوتی تو دوبارہ ہم زندہ ہو کے آپ کی خدمت میں ہم پہنچتے. عزاداران حسین امام گھر پہنچنے کے بعد اپنے گھر والوں کو حکم دیتے ہیں کہ سفر کی تیاری کرو. وہ رات گزری ہے, دوسرا دن بھی گزرا ہے, اور اس دن جو ہے دن کے وقت مدینہ کی گلی میں امام حسین علیہ السلام کی ملاقات ہوتی ہے مروان بن حکم سے. اس ملعون نے کوشش کی دوبارہ کہ امام حسین علیہ السلام کو ایک لحاظ سے امپریس کیا جائے کہ وہ بیعت کریں, اور ایک جملہ کہتا ہے کہ حسین اگر آپ بیعت کریں گے تو آپ کی دنیا کے لیے بھی بہتر ہے اور آپ کے آخرت کے لیے بھی بہتر ہے. جس پر امام نے عجیب غریب جواب دیا ہے, فرماتے ہیں ان للہ و ان الیہ راجعون. یہ جملہ کب کہا جاتا ہے؟ یہ جملہ اس وقت کہا جاتا ہے کہ جب کسی کے مرنے کی خبر آئے اور مروان امام حسین سے کہہ رہا ہے کہ آپ یزید کی بیعت کر لیں تو اس میں دنیا اور آخرت کے لیے بہتر ہے. امام کا جواب یہ ہے کہ اگر ہم بیعت کر لیں تو اسلام ختم ہو جائے گا, ان للہ و ان الیہ راجعون. خدا اسلام پر بلکہ یہاں خدا ودا کرنا پڑے گا, سلام کہنا پڑے گا اس دن کے لیے جس وقت امت پر یزید جیسا شخص جو ہے حاکم اور لیڈر کے عنوان سے امپوز ہو جائے. امام حسین علیہ السلام جو آخری رات گزاری ہے مدینہ میں, جاتے ہیں روزے رسول پر اپنے نانا سے الوداع کہنے کے لیے. روایات میں ملتا ہے کہ حسین نانا کے قبر پہ پہنچنے کے بعد بہت روئے ہیں اور قبر کے اوپر اپنے کو گھرا دیتے ہیں. غشی کا عالم طاری ہو جاتا ہے, عالم رویا میں دیکھتے ہیں کہ قبر کھلی ہے اور نانا نے بلایا ہے. اس وقت امام حسین علیہ السلام نے رونا شروع کیا اور فرماتے ہیں کہ نانا آپ کے بعد امت نے ہم لوگوں پر بہت ہی ظلم کیا ہے, اور کہتے ہیں کہ آپ مجھے اپنی قبر میں لے لیں. لیکن اس وقت حسین کو رسول علیہ السلام نے کہا یا حسین اخرج, اے حسین تمہیں نکلنا ہوگا, اس لیے کہ خداوند عالم نے جو منزلت اور جو مقام آپ کے لیے آخرت میں مخصوص کیا ہے وہ صرف شہادت کے ذریعے اسلام کے خاطر جو ہے حاصل ہو سکتا ہے. نانا کے لحد سے رخصت ہونے کے بعد امام حسین علیہ السلام اپنے بھائی حسن کے قبر پر جاتے ہیں الوداع کے لیے. یقیناً وہ زمانہ یاد آیا ہوگا جو بھائی کے ساتھ گزارا ہے, خوشیوں کے موقع بھی اور غم کے مواقع بھی. اور اس کے بعد رخصت ہونے کے بعد اس قبر پہ جاتے ہیں جو فاطمۃ الزہرا کی قبر تھی. مجھے نہیں معلوم ہے, تاریخ میں لکھا نہیں ہے کہ حسین نے ماں سے کیا کہا ہے, لیکن عجب نہیں کہ قبر سے آواز آئی ہوگی کہ حسین تم تنہا کر تم مدینہ نہیں چھوڑ رہے ہو, ماں بھی تیرے پیچھے پیچھے کربلا کی طرف روانہ ہو رہی ہے. وہ رات کا وقت جب آ جاتا ہے, ایک قافلہ تیار کیا جاتا ہے, سامان کے
لادنے کے بعد وہ محملیں آتی ہیں، اماریاں آتی ہیں، وہ سواریاں آتی ہیں جن پر پردے کا انتظام تھا، تمام بچوں اور خواتین کو سوار کیا جاتا ہے۔ ام فروہ آگے بڑھی تو قاسم نے آ کے سہارا دیا، جناب ام کلثوم آگے بڑھی تو جناب علی اکبر نے آ کے سہارا دیا۔ عزاداران حسین، جب زینب آگے نکلی ہیں، عباس آتے ہیں سہارا دیتے ہیں، حسین احترامن کھڑے ہو جاتے ہیں، اکبر نے دوسری طرف سے سہارا دیا ہے۔ عزاداران حسین، جب یہ قافلہ چلا ہے مدینہ سے اس کیفیت کے ساتھ، تو یہ بہت بڑی معمولی سی بات تھی، اس لیے کہ ہر سفر میں یہی اہتمام ہوتا تھا۔ اور وہ زینب نے اس وقت کچھ سوچا تو نہیں ہوگا، لیکن یقیناً جب 11 محرم کو یہ اسیروں کا قافلہ تیار ہوا اور یزیدی لشکر نے جب خواتین سے کہا کہ اب روانہ ہونے کا وقت ہے، اور جب آگے بڑھتے ہیں کہ بچوں اور عورتوں کو ان اونٹوں پر سوار کرے جس پر کوئی پردے کا انتظام نہ تھا، زینب نے ان سپاہیوں کو ہٹا دیا، کہا ہم لوگ خود ہی اپنے خواتین اور بچوں کو سوار کریں گے۔ زینب ام کلثوم نے سب کو سہارا دیا، لیکن آخر میں ام کلثوم کو بھی سوار کرنے کے بعد جب زینب اب دیکھتی ہے دائیں کوئی نہیں، بائیں کوئی نہیں، عجب نہیں کہ علقمہ کی طرف رخ کیا ہوگا اور آواز دی ہوگی، اے عباس تم کہاں ہو؟ مدینہ میں سہارا دینے کے لیے تم آئے تھے، لیکن زمین کربلا میں دیکھو آج زینب بالکل تنہا ہے۔ لعنة اللہ علی القوم الظالمین، سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون۔ خداوند اس قرب عباد قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہ کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما۔ خداوند جہاں جہاں شیعان علی ہیں، خداوند اس عزاداری کے صدقے میں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ۔ تمام انسانوں کو کرونا وائرس کی نگیٹو امپیکٹ سے دور رکھ، محفوظ رکھ۔ خداوند جہاں جہاں مسلمان ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان رکھ، ان کو دشمنوں کے شر سے محفوظ رکھ، ان کی دشمنوں سے کی سازشوں سے محفوظ رکھ۔ امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما، ربنا۔